Spirit. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, what I'm looking for right now are the this is there's a lot of sermons you can forget your notes on. No. I mean, if there's a lot of rhetoric, if there's a lot of chant, you can get away without notes. But if you got lots of cross references and you're talking about like pictures of the Holy Spirit, then it's a little rougher. So, and I don't want it, and if I do this, this is preaching someone else's message. These are for you. These aren't for me. Rats. Do y'all remember the parable of the the virgins trimming their lamps? You know the reference offhand? Yeah, we kill the dead space. That's the prize. Well, I might have lost my notes, but he didn't steal my trick. So, anybody want to guess what's wrong with this ball? You know, there's a lot of Christians like this. There's a lot of Christians like this. Matthew 25, thank you. We'll go there in a minute. You know what this ball needs? It needs some wind. There's only one way to fix this thing. Needs to get filled. Once this thing's filled, it'll do exactly what it's designed to do. Now, if I let that set, it has a hole in it, just like we do, and it'll run out of air. It has to be filled often. The Holy Spirit is like air in a ball. If you go to Acts chapter 2, Acts in chapter 2, you can just tape that. Did you turn it on? Okay. Acts in chapter 2. The charismatics love this verse. They misinterpret it, but it's a great verse. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there fell a sound. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and he began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Christians need to be filled. If we're not filled, we're as useless, absolutely as useless, as this now flat ball that's supposed to bounce. Now, why do we have these sheets of paper? Why on earth would we look at the menorah? Because the menorah was in the temple. If you turn this sheet over, there's a picture of the temple. Now in chart one, as you go into the temple from the east, the first thing that you see is the brazen altar. You see fire. And in fact, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we go in, when we get confronted with the deity of God, the first thing that we understand is the judgment of hell. And that's the very first thing they see in the temple, is fire. Right after that is water. Now, what puts out the fire? Water. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is pictured by that water. But then we go into the holy place. Now, in the Jews' time, they weren't allowed in. Only the priest was allowed in. But as Christians, we are the priesthood of today. We have direct access to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that veil has been split. So we come into there, and we minister in that holy place daily. And there's two very significant things that I want to look at today, and that's on the other side. First of all, chart 4 has the showbread. Now, the showbread was laid out on a table. The showbread, see, you couldn't find my notes. This was really good. The showbread is laid out on a table. I believe it's in Leviticus chapter 24. I'm going to try and find this thing. Leviticus 24:5. Thank you. Leviticus chapter 24, starting in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil, beaten for the light. Now, if I had gone to the parable, we probably won't have time to jump to all the passages that I wanted to jump to. If we'd gone to the parable, the virgins had lamps. There were 10 virgins. 5 of them had oil in their lamps, and 5 of them didn't. And then the Lord came back. Now, it doesn't say the Lord came back, but that's the picture going on in that parable, is you got the coming of the Lord, and 5 of the virgins didn't have oil, and they said, oh, man, the wedding feast is coming up. We got to go get some oil. So they ran out and got some oil, and they came back. The door was shut. They couldn't get in. The 5 that were prepared had the oil. That oil is the same oil that they used in the menorah, and this menorah is in the temple. Now, the very significant thing about the menorah is, first of all, there's 7 cups. So, something like this, and this one in the middle is the preeminent one. Well, you got a picture there. But this, each one of these stems has olive oil in it. And the olive oil gives off light, and the light shines onto a table. Imagine this table, and there's 6 pieces of bread, and there's 2 rows of them. Now, there's very significant, these numbers are very significant. God doesn't just say, how many stems am I going to put on the menorah? I guess I'll do 7. No, he doesn't work that way. He said, I'm going to do 7 because in Revelation, I know there's 7 spirits of God. And if you want to know what each of those spirits represents, you go to Isaiah in chapter 11, and we'll go there now. Isaiah chapter 11, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there came forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now get this, I want you to count how many spirits are here. And I'll go back through after we're done, but I want you to count. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick of understanding fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither shall he prove after the hearing of his ears. There's seven spirits here. Count with me. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord. The first spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of understanding. The Spirit of counsel. The Spirit of might. The Spirit of knowledge. And the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Seven spirits. Now go with me to Revelation in chapter 3 and verse 1. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, and unto the angel of the church of Sardis, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works. Thou hast the name. Thou hast livest and art dead. The key here is these seven spirits, this menorah, the reason God put seven stems on this is he wanted us to understand this seven-stem menorah was a picture of the Holy Spirit. Well, what does the menorah do? What did Jesus say when he was tempted in the wilderness? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We've got six loaves of bread and a second row of six loaves of bread. You know, this book is a Gentile. We do base 10. You put six in the tens place. And you put six in the ones place. Those six rows, those two rows of six represent the 66 books of this Bible. So now let's set this on the table and let's shine a light on it. Do you know why the light was there? To show the bread? So the priest could see what he was doing. If there was no light, he couldn't see the bread. The Holy Spirit, his ministry to us is to shine the light on this book. Now, it's beautiful. I mean, only the mind of God could cover every single detail of these pictures. And he crosses his T's and dots his I's because there's oil in the lamp. There's seven stems representing the seven spirits of God. He hooks all of these things together so that only a PhD could miss it. So let's go over to Matthew 24. Matthew 25. There we go. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, verse 1, be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. A ball without air is useless. A lamp without oil is useless. That oil, that lamp, represents the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. Now, there's a lot of people that tell you, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Great idea. But hey, if you don't have any light, You're almost wasting your time. I'm not saying don't read your Bible. Don't run away and say, Kevin Wanda said you don't need to read your Bible. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying you might be wasting your time if you read that book without the Holy Spirit of God, because you're reading it in the dark. And I don't know about you, but when I read in the dark, I don't get very far. I can, you know, a little bit of moonlight, starlight, can wiggle a little bit and maybe get a whole verse or two. But man, if you want some meat, you want something to chew on, you need some light. Put the showbread on the table. You're going to have some overhead light, but what you really want is that menorah, that Holy Spirit of God operating in your life, casting light on this scripture so that we see, as priests of God in this New Testament age, we see what the Lord has us to do as we minister the showbread to our own lives, and eventually, once we mature, into the lives of those that we minister to. The key here, the Holy Spirit, now we as Baptists, we get cheated by the Pentecostals because we're afraid to say Holy Ghost. My Bible says Holy Ghost. It doesn't say Holy Ghost. But my Bible talks about the Holy Ghost. My Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. And if I don't have Him in my life, I'm a flat football, a flat soccer ball, and a lamp without oil, a flashlight without batteries, a house without electricity. I am empty, I'm desolate, I'm nothing, and I can't minister to anybody because I'm in the dark without the Holy Spirit. We cannot let the liberals and anybody else cheat us out of that ministry, of that third person of the Trinity, because He is the key to our success in ministry and the key to our success in understanding this book. Where do we go from here? Let's keep going. The five then were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, I know I've just talked about this, but if you think about it, that's pretty stupid. It's probably a little bit legalistic. It's like a Baptist putting on a suit and tie and shaving, washing his face and washing his hair, and being crooked and wicked on the inside and coming to church. Oh, I got my lamp. I got my lamp. Look at me. Hey, but when you need the oil, oh, there's no light coming on. Oh, we need you to do something. Sorry. No oil. No gas. Empty. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. That's the Wednesday night crowd, right? That's the wise folks of the Wednesday night crowd. I'm not letting you off the hook, by the way. That's a joke. That's sarcasm. Don't miss that one. While the bridegroom tarried and all slumbered and slept. Ooh. Isn't that Christianity? Right there in a nutshell. While the bridegroom tarried. Don't we say, if the Lord tarry? Isn't that a Christian expression? If the Lord tarry? Isn't He doing that now? Isn't He tarrying? And the Bible says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. I don't know about you, folks, but I'm scared to death to be empty-handed at the judgment seat of Christ. How would you like, you ever been on a bus and you just, maybe it was an airplane and you fell asleep, and or maybe you've seen it happen to other people, and then the stewardess comes up and gives you a nudge, sir, ma'am, we're here, the end of the line, oh man, I don't want to wake up that way with the Lord. While he tarried, they slumbered and slept. Man, I don't want that to be my epitaph. I don't want, oh, while the Lord tarried, Kevin slumbered and slept. Oh, may it never, ever be that way when he comes back. I don't want that statement associated with me, but yet it's pretty easy to let happen. It's pretty easy